Good morning to you, brethren. It's good to be with you. Thank God for the opportunity to be in His house again and to worship together, to feel that fellowship, as we saw last night, the companionship of those that love God and belong to Him. What a blessed privilege and what a blessing, no greater this side of the eternal heaven than to be in worship with God's people in His house with the Spirit of God blessing. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. It's a worship is labor. It's a thing to prepare for and pray for, and you all have done and are doing that, and I thank you for that, and thank you for your prayers in my behalf. Another sign, I don't know who selects the responsive readings, but both of them, if you might have noticed today, where there were two psalms that were the source of that reading. And of course, the 23rd it ended with that. And the first one was a psalm also, the first part of that reading. God works. He works. He works His will, all things after His will. And I thank Him for it. And I thank Him for reassuring me that I'm on the right path here and what He would have me to preach to you. Would you please turn to Psalm 91? Psalm 91, we'll look at that, the entire psalm this morning, God willing. Psalm 91 is many, many years ago, probably in the 1980s, maybe the early 90s, we spent some time where I was worshiping with the young people, well, the Waycross Church, and with the young people there, and we did a song, based on the 91st Psalm. It was set to music. And of course, the Psalms were set to music in the days that they were written. And my understanding is that the music's been lost. The words have not, praise the Lord. But I was able to memorize a good bit of this Psalm because of that, learning it in a song. And it's been special to me since then. I don't know if I knew much about the 91st Psalm before those days, but since those days, it's been special to me, and I've been blessed reading it and reminiscing over that. Psalm 91. My Bible, and yours may have, my Bible has a little caption, a little statement before the text of the psalm starts. And on this one, it says, "Happy state of the godly." Maybe your Bible has something like that or something similar. It's not scripture, but it's a summary of what the psalm is about. The happy state of the godly. And I added to that a little bit, and I put the happy state of the godly who is safe under the protection of God. In the last few days, the topic of conversation has been the storm, hasn't it? The Helene, whatever the name was, and we've all talked about it. I bet every one of us have talked about it a lot. I was just on the phone with Elder Randy Waters, and he was asking me about it, and we were reporting to each other about the condition of our families and us and our the property God gives us and the our surroundings. And it's just the topic of conversation right now. And in prayer, we're praying for those that have suffered much more than have we. But this Psalm 91, I think, is particularly applicable now because of God has demonstrated His care of us and His protection of us in the storm. Psalm 91, I want to read the entire psalm and then come back and just comment on each of the verses. Brethren, read along, please, silently as I read out loud. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Psalm 91. Beautiful psalm, isn't it? Beautiful psalm. God, make it alive to us and bless us as we study his word together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for blessing us to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. Thank you for blessing us to be companions of all those that love you. To be alive from the dead, called out for service. Oh God, bless this time of worship together. Get honor and glory, oh God, is our prayer. And we pray also, Lord, that you would teach us, reassure us, instruct us in your word, that we might, oh God, rejoice in it, that we might practically put it into practice, oh God, what we learned, your word. Thank you for your felt presence last evening, as Brother David expressed in his prayer. Thank you for your felt presence. Thank you for your guidance. We need you, oh God, this hour as much as last night. And we ask, Father, that you would come and instruct us and bless us. I thank you for the hospitality of these brethren, dear brethren, their prayers for me and for this meeting. Oh God, grant, we pray. Bless your word now, please, oh God, to our minds and hearts and spirits. Open it to us to receive, that we might receive it, oh God. And we'll give you honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Forgive our sins, please, oh God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He that dwelleth. Think about that dwelling. Dwelling's where you spend a lot of time, dwelling. Not just passing through momentarily, not just visiting shortly, but dwelleth. He, and the first word is he, and of course that applies to the he's and the she's, men and women, God's children. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That sentence assumes, that statement assumes that there is a place. There is a place, brethren, a special place that God's children can dwell in. God's children, God's obedient children can dwell in. Spend extended time in. It's a secret place. I like that expression. A secret, by definition, is something that's not known by everybody, is it? When I was a boy and a child and playing, people would come, our friends would come and say, "Let me tell you a secret." And it made me feel a little special that not everybody's going to get to hear this secret. Brethren, not everybody can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It's God's place. And only God's people can know that and can dwell there. It's a special place. And we need to, that it's the presence of God. It's trusting in God. It's taking the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. It's secret. It's apart from the world. The world cannot be let in on that secret. They can't understand it. They may even hear about it, but it goes in one ear and out the other. But we, brethren, can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The Most High. That's God. Omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful God, all-loving God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, here's the result if we do that, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That word shadow, I'm outside a lot. It's a hobby. We have a piece of land, Jan and me, and I love to work on it. And I've worked outside a lot in my life. Grew up on the farm. Daddy and my brother and me, we'd work. Weed fence. And if we could get under the shadow of a big old tree, it's special, isn't it? Well, I look for a shadow when it's hot outside and the heat is oppressive. And a shadow, brethren, if you look on the ground and you see a shadow, that means that there's something big and probably strong nearby, isn't it? If you see a shadow, if you're out in the hot sun and you're weary and tired and you see a shadow, I head for it when I need a break. And that means, brethren, there's a building, maybe or a tree or a rock somewhere that's casting that shadow. And it gives relief. The shadow gives relief. And that structure or whatever it is, brethren, you can get protection from it, from the elements. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, God Almighty, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. If we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I made notes, and I sometimes get to go in and I don't look at my notes, and I'm torn because I don't want to leave something out that I thought of earlier, but I'll move on. Verse 2. The psalmist here, and some say this was written by Moses, some say by David. Doesn't matter. Again, the author is unknown to us, but we know the author, the pen. We don't know the penman, but the author is God, inspiring some man to write this, to pen these words. It's God expressing his truth through a person. I will say of the Lord, the penman, the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. A refuge, brethren, is something, a refuge from a storm, isn't it? Or the elements or danger. And he's my fortress that we run to for protection. My God, in him will I trust. That's the writer speaking. He says, I will trust in God. There's a psalm I want to go to here. Psalm 146, verse 3, about whom we trust in. Psalm 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes. I was somewhere very recently, and I quoted this verse, and I put it in the context of, we see a lot of signs along the road these days. I meant to mention to Jan, as we were driving, all the political signs are gone, the yard signs are gone. That's kind of refreshing, isn't it? From Helene took care of those, but they'll be back up like mushrooms probably. But in that regard, brethren, the princes say, vote for me, you know, I'll help you, I'll save you, I'll make us great again, and not to endorse or slough off on any party. But here's what God says, or candidate, I'm staying away from that, but you and I have a duty, brethren, to study them and see who, in my opinion, best fits what we want and what God says that we ought to pursue. But the Word of God says, it's 146:3, put not your trust in princes, nor the Son of Man. And that's not Jesus there. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. Here it means men, not the God man. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Our help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. I don't know what a snare of a fowler looks like, but I know it's a trap to catch a bird. I know it's a trap. And Satan sets traps for us, brethren. He sets traps all around for us. He tries to snare us, brethren. But God, the writer here says, God delivers from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, whatever that might be. I was thinking this week when I was reading this, I thought a snare is perfectly silent. When you're trying to catch a bird, you don't want to move and you don't want to make a sound. You want to watch him and see if he goes into your trap. It's perfectly silent. That on the one hand, perfectly silent trap. On the other hand, noisome pestilence. something that raises a lot of racket and it presents a danger to us and makes us uncomfortable. Surely God will deliver us. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? He shall cover thee with his feathers. It's symbolic language, but the fowl who have offspring, little chicks or chickens, the parent covers them. The mature bird, fowl, covers them with their wings, with their feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. That's how vulnerable, brethren, we are absent God and his protection. I was talking with a man recently up at Fitzgerald. He has chicken houses, what we call them. Many of them. He's sold them to his son now, but I was talking with him about them. And he said, Mike, if those chickens, if those biddies get cold, they will die. He looked me right in the eye and he said, they can't get cold or they'll die when they're young biddies or birds, chicks. And brethren, feathers keep the babies warm. God spreads his feathers over us and protects us. There's protection there because we, like young chickens, are very, very vulnerable. And we need God's covering protection for us. Under his wings shalt thou trust. There, you can trust there because there's protection there. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I was reading over this morning and I thought of this phrase in connection with the last night. How we read so much about God's truth, his statutes, his commandments. They're our shield and protection and our buckler. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be, I think 5 and 6 go together. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth that noonday. He's saying that there is danger at night sometimes. There's danger in the daytime sometimes. But you won't fear it. 15, 20 minutes ago, I was talking with Brother McKinley. You know what he told me? And I was going to say this anyway. I didn't know this about Brother McKinley, but I was going to talk about this. He said the storm came through at night. He kind of chuckled and said, I slept right through it. That there it is. Not afraid. I was going to say that in Fitzgerald, it came through at dark time and all night. We were up and down, looking out the window, listening, and I can't say that I slept through it, brethren. I wish I trusted that much, but I didn't. I was up and down during the night. I did sleep some, but brethren, you know what? I should have got out my Bible and read Psalm 91 and gone to sleep and said, Jan, we're going to sleep now. Don't get up. We're going to be in bed all night. Stay here. But we didn't do that. But brethren, I'm just as safe. I'm just as protected as if I'd slept all night, right? Nothing happened at our house, in our yard. We didn't even have a big limb. We didn't even have one big limb down. Others suffered more, but God protected them. At least their lives he did. You don't fear that, brethren, night or day when you trust in God, when God is your refuge and you say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress. In him will I trust. Let me see. Those who obey him need not fear the things of nature, need not fear his judgment upon the unrighteous, because God does send storms and judgment upon the unrighteous. But if we're obeying him, we belong to him, and we're serving him and obeying him, we need not fear that. We need not fear, brethren, God's righteous judgment on us, because we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Egyptians had reason to fear it because they didn't have the blood on the doorpost. And their houses suffered and the pestilence got them. The judgment, the death angel, didn't pass over them like he did the Israelites. But God judges the ungodly and he judges, brethren, and he protects the righteous. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. We see God's judgment on the unrighteous all around us. Many die, many suffer, many are not delivered, but we are, and we're protected. Verse 9. This is either in verse 9, the psalmist writing, testifying to himself as to what he's done, or he's encouraging us to do what he's done. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I just mentioned the children of Israel at Passover time in Egypt, the very first Passover. No evil befell them, brethren. The plague did not come nigh their dwelling, because, brethren, the blood of the lamb, the paschal lamb, was on the doorpost, and they were protected from God's righteous judgment. Verse 11. You remember last night in the introduction to the Psalms, I said to you that the Psalms are the most quoted book of the Bible other than Isaiah in the New Testament, the most quoted in the New Testament other than Isaiah. Do these verses sound familiar? For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Who quoted that in the New Testament? Even Satan quoted that to Jesus, didn't he? When Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Satan said, took him up onto the temple and said, jump off. And Jesus, of course, resisted that temptation. Had he not, we'd all be in big trouble. He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. God gives his angels charge, brethren, over you and me. Another reason not to worry. He gives his angels charge over us. I was talking with someone recently about God's deliverance and how miraculously he delivered me many times in my life. And you can all account and recall times when God's delivered you in a miraculous way, when you were powerless to do so. We all can. We can testify. We can identify with this verse. He gives his angels charge over us. The psalmist says that. And in chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 14, the writer of Hebrews says, speaking of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? God blesses, brethren, protects. And one way he does it is through his ministering spirits, his ministering angels that do his bidding. Up and down the ladder that Jacob saw in Genesis, they go up to get instruction and they come down to carry out God's orders in his direction. Praise the Lord for that. Always ministering to his people. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Hebrews 1:14 again. He keeps us. They watch over us and protect us in all ways. Verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, those who say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress, those who trust in the one true and living God, shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Examples. Samson, man of God, one of the judges of the Old Testament, killed a lion that roared against him, came out against him, and Samson tread upon him, as it were. He destroyed the lion. David, as he was about to go against Goliath, told King Saul, he said, I was guarding the sheep, I was a shepherd, and a lion and a bear came out against the flock and took a lamb. He says, I grabbed him and I slew him, the lion and the bear. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel went to sleep. He probably slept through the storm. I've seen a painting. It's just an artist's rendition. But I've seen a painting of Daniel sitting on a rock in the den of lions. And on his lap is resting the head of a lion. You know, a lion's head is about this big, and Daniel is stroking his mane there. I know it's an artist's idea, and it may or may not have happened like that. But God shut the mouths of the lions. He made them like kittens to Daniel. Thou shalt, those who God trust in God, brethren, shall tread upon the lion and the adder. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked on an island, and it was cold and it was raining, and they were going to build a fire, and Paul was gathering up sticks and, to kindle a fire and to put on the fire. And it says a serpent came out of the fire and grabbed him on the hand. I forget the word, but it bit him on the hand and held on to him. And it says Paul shook him off into the fire. And the heathens, the unbelievers that were on that island, saw it. And they knew that Paul was in the company, was a prisoner, and there were prisoners on that ship. And they said, okay, here's what's happening now. This guy's a prisoner. He's done some heinous crime. And though he didn't die in the shipwreck, he's going to die now. The gods or whatever are going to cause him to die because he's bit on the hand by the viper. And it says Paul shook him off into the fire and felt no harm. Paul tread on the adder and felt no harm there. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Brother Billy Mullis was my pastor for many years, and he often used the expression, when we at the church had had a particularly successful or spirit-filled service, or done something in the service to God, or resisted some ill will or something and done good, quote unquote, Brother Billy would often say, we've trampled Satan underfoot. And that's what he's referring to there. Brethren, with the help of God and the grace of God, you and I can trample Satan underfoot. The Revelation says, that old serpent, which is the devil, we can trample him under our feet. By the grace of God, we can. Now, verse 14, brethren, I believe that this is God speaking through the psalmist, but these are words of God. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Brethren, set your love upon God. Now you can't do that, brethren, absent the love of God already being set upon you. What does John, 1 John 4:19 say? We love him because he first loved us. That, brethren, enables us to then set our love upon him, because he set his love upon us. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. We must, brethren, you must, I must, set our love and put our trust in the one true and living God. I will deliver him. I will deliver him from the terror by night, or the pestilence that walketh at noonday. We can do that. You can name times that God has delivered you, but I'm convinced of this, brethren. He's delivered me a lot more times than I even know about. Y'all feel like that? You feel like that? 2 Kings chapter 6. You could turn there if you will, or if you don't want to, I'll read it. I'm going to read it to you. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is Elisha. He had been telling the king of Israel, I believe it was, it might have been Judah, I think it was Israel, what the Syrians were planning. God was showing the prophet Elisha what was going on. The Syrians were going to attack, but Elisha kept warning the king, saying, don't go to this place, don't go to this place, there's going to be an ambush. I'm putting in my own words. And the king of Syria said, who is it among us? Who's telling this guy our plans? We've got, again, I'm putting in my own words, but he's saying something like, he gets his captains together, his warlords, and says, all right, who's telling our plans? And somebody says to the king of Syria, he says, it's Elisha. He's back over there in Israel or Judah, and I didn't look to see which one it is, but he said, he's telling, he knows every move that we're going to make. He knows the plans. So the king sends many, many, many soldiers, and they surround Elisha. You remember that occasion there? And so the heart of the king of Syria was troubled, He called and says, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel's words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." He says, that prophet over there, he knows what you're saying in your bedroom, of all places. And so the king says, "Go and spy where he is." This is chapter 6, verse 13. "That I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. They surrounded the whole city, a great host. Here's the part of deliverance, brethren. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early," the servant of the man of God, Elisha's servant, "and gone forth," he goes outside, "behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant, Elisha's servant, said unto Elisha, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?'" There's that exclamation point. "Alas, my master, what are we going to do? 'He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.'" There's an answer right there. "And he said, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.'" Isn't that a wonderful statement? One God, one true and living God, is more, Elisha says, than all that host of those men in chariots. One is more than all of them. Yes, it is indeed. "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened it, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Oh, brethren, I say to you, on the authority of God's word, there are horses and chariots of fire around God's people. We don't see them, do we? What a blessed thing to know it and see it through the eye of faith, though. What a blessed thing. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name." Verse 15, we set our love upon God. We know his name. By knowing his name, it means, brethren, we acknowledge him, we own him as our one God that we'll serve, and we serve him. I love verse 15. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him." What a blessing it is, brethren. Do you remember when Jacob sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac? And the servant traveled a great distance, camels loaded with gifts. And he said, "Lord, let this be the sign. This is my words." He says, "The woman that comes out and I ask her for a drink of water, and she says, 'Drink, and I'll also give drink to your camel.' Let that be her. Let that be the sign, O God." And the word of God says, while he was praying, here she came. That was Rebekah, Isaac's wife. Yeah. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, says James. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble." It doesn't say he won't have any trouble. Oh, life will be just a bed of roses for you. No trouble whatsoever, no. The word of God says, "I will be with him in trouble." He calls, I answer. He is with us in trouble, in the terror, in the pestilence. He delivers us. He delivers us, brethren, from it or in it. Right? Right? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You know what happened to them. They were facing a burning, fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow before the idol set up by King Nebuchadnezzar. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, they said, God will deliver us from it, from that furnace. We won't have to go in, or He'll deliver us in it. If we go in, we're probably going to be burned up. But nevertheless, we're not going to bow down to your idol. God delivered them, brethren, in it, didn't he? He delivered them from it also. The fire, it said, had no power to hurt them. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Because he has set his love upon me, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in trouble. Daniel was in trouble. He was thrown into a den of lions. But God says, I will be with them in it. And he may, brethren, he may deliver us in it. He may deliver us. He may choose to say, come on home now. Come on now. Whether he says, or he may say, I'm going to protect you from it. I got other things for you to do. Either way, brethren, we are delivered. I will deliver him and honor him. He honors us with his present care. God is a very present help in trouble. Another Psalm, 46, verse 1. I love that psalm too. That might be one of our lessons for this week, 46. Now, verse 16 is the conclusion. With long life will I satisfy him. And we have living proof of that sitting on the second pew to my left. Just celebrated 104 years, Brother McKinley. With long life will I satisfy him. Now that can mean long years. It can mean a lot of years. But it can mean also full years, brethren. Long days. Sometimes Jan and I will say at the close of a day, been a good day. We got a lot done today. We had a good day. That's a long day, brethren. That's a good day. God enriches our lives. In the case of Brother McKinley, he's enriched his days and he's lengthened his days, literally. With long life will I satisfy him, and the best is the last phrase, and show him my salvation. We've already agreed, you all have nodded in agreement, that God has delivered us time after time after time. Time, world, salvation. He's delivered us. He's protected us for all of our lives. He's spared us and helped us. And we've all agreed that he's done it many times and we didn't even know it. We couldn't see the army of chariots of fire and horses around us. But also many times we do know it. But he shows us the salvation of God. Be still and see the salvation of God. Be still and know that I am God. He shows us his salvation as we live day by day. But you know, brethren, what's the best part of all of it is? He shows us, it was Simeon in the New Testament. He said, now, Lord, lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, that's the best part right there. He saw it. He saw it as he lived in this time world, and he saw it, brethren, over in the other world too. He saw God's salvation. That's the best part right there. He shows us his salvation. God is merciful, brethren, to show us our Lord and Savior and what he's done for us. And that the pestilence of sin that wasteth, that noonday, that separates us from the love of God, sin, that's been done away with by the blood, shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for his salvation. Oh God Almighty, I beg you to bless me to have rightly divided your word. I know, Lord, there's unfathomable riches in it. And I just maybe, hopefully, just scratched the surface some. Oh God, bless if it's correct what I said, that it'll remain in our hearts and minds and we'll feed on it and rejoice in it, and that it'll affect the way we live. That when we go from this place, oh God, we ask it in the name of Jesus and we give you thanks. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn, brethren. If you're not a member of the church here and the Spirit's leading you to that, to join with the people of God here, you are invited to make that known as we stand and sing our final hymn.